Chapter 14, Work of the Holy Spirit. The work of God the Holy Ghost in the great plan of salvation may be said to comprise the application to each vessel of mercy of the work which God the Eternal Son has accomplished for them. None of those chosen by God the Father could be saved without this great work of God the Son, as he was made flesh for them, and it is true also to say that none could be saved without this work of the Spirit in their own individual souls. It is this latter work which we now desire a little to consider. There is a time appointed for each vessel of mercy, when the Holy Spirit should come to them and call them by his effectual grace. Previous to this, they were dead in trespasses and sins, but the Spirit comes and quickens their souls into life and imparts a new divine nature so that they become new creatures. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. This is the new birth of which the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3, verses 3 and 5. The Savior further describes this new or second birth by comparing it to the wind, which is manifest by the effects that it produces. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 8. This means that while the new birth comes imperceptibly, it will be manifest by the effects which it produces in the soul and in the life of the partaker of it. The new divine life thus imparted will evidence itself in new feelings, new desires, new affections, new apprehensions. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. A new and spiritual sight is given, by which all things appear in a different light. The soul may say then, as did the blind man, whose eyes the Savior had opened, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." John 9, verse 25. Sin now appears to be exceeding sinful, a dreadful reality, and God to be holy and just, and condemning on account of it. The Word of God now becomes quick and powerful, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The law is seen to be spiritual and to reach to these thoughts and motives, so that even though the outside may be clean, there is seen to be this inward wickedness and depravity. The leprosy is felt to be deep within, and the plague to be in the heart, and the subject of this work is brought to cry for mercy, feeling condemned like the publican. New desires arise from this new principle of life, and go out in true prayer and supplication to God, that they may be supplied. There may have been a form of prayer before, but now the soul truly prays, so that it may be said, as it was of Saul of Tarsus when this divine life and light had entered into his soul, "Behold, he prayeth." Acts 9, verse 11. There is a real sense of need, so that the heart is in the prayers which go out for a supply of these needs. The divine life which has been imparted evidences itself in a new hunger and thirst. I hunger now for heavenly food, and my poor heart cries out for God. The soul now has new pursuits, whereas previously, although perhaps paying an outward attention to the form of religion, the mind and heart were at home in the things of this world, and those pursuits which please the flesh. Now the heart is set upon attaining spiritual things. Every opportunity of hearing the word preached or of attending the prayer meetings is eagerly embraced, and the heart goes out to the Lord, that a blessing may accompany them to the soul. Secret opportunities of reading the word of God, or the writings of good men, and of prayer and supplication are also earnestly taken advantage of. The truth is, the soul is in deep need, and is compelled to cry after God and follow hard after the supply of these needs. New companions also are now sought. Before, there was an affinity with the world, and the company of the world was congenial. But now the company of the poor and despised people of God is sought after and esteemed. They are seen and felt to be the excellent of the earth, and whatever worldly attainments and accomplishments there may have been, the desire of the soul now is, this people shall be my people, and their God my God. Ruth 1, verse 16. Better, it is felt, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11, verse 25. It is true that there will be much opposition to these new motions of divine life within. We are not all spirit, and the flesh which opposes will be found to be very strong, and may often seem to prevail, so that we go against our best interests and are much hindered in these new desires and pursuits. There will be a conflict between sin and grace, the flesh and the spirit. But all this will bring the soul down into a deeper sense of guilt and ruin, and make more necessary the pursuit after that which alone can save and satisfy. This will bring down the heart with labor, so that there is none that can help but God. This will discover also the inability and helplessness of the creature in spiritual things, and cause earnest cries for help from the Lord. The Holy Spirit not only convinces of sin, but is also the comforter, and as such is promised to take of the things of the Lord Jesus and show them to the sinner, whom he has convinced of his need of such a Savior. He reveals the things concerning the incarnation of Christ, his coming to take our flesh, and to suffer and die to make an atonement for sin. He shows the infinite sufficiency of this great sacrifice for sin, and that the justice of God is eternally satisfied therewith, and his wrath forever put away for all those for whom he stood as their surety and substitute. He brings near also the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, as sufficient to justify all who believe in his name, and make them righteous in the sight of a holy God. He thus draws out the desires and affections after this suitable Savior, and enables the soul to press after a saving acquaintance with him, to possess him by faith, and embrace him in true spiritual affection as his own ever-living Redeemer. His concern is to know Christ, to win Christ, to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, which is received by faith. Here the soul is often kept long praying and waiting, suing and wrestling, and often hope deferred makes the heart sick because the desired object is not attained. The Lord hides himself, withdraws himself, covers the face of his throne with a cloud, seems to give a deaf ear to the many cries and pleas that go out after him. At length, however, and in his own time, the Lord reveals himself to the sinner as all his salvation and all his desire, and here the Spirit bears witness to his interest in the Savior and all he has done, sealing up the soul unto the day of redemption, and becoming in him the earnest of the inheritance. This does not end the conflict, nor the Spirit's work in the soul, which will continue until the end of his mortal career. There is much to be learned, much to be done to make the soul meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. There is to be a growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Spirit's work and power is needed in the mortification of sin, in a separation from the world, and all that would hinder the soul in the heavenly race, and in deliverance from idols which entangle the affections. Sins and departures will call for much chastening from the Lord, and the Spirit's work is to be seen in sanctifying all the trials and afflictions which make up the appointed path of tribulation. He comes also as the Spirit of adoption to bear witness of their sonship, and that these chastenings are from a Father's hand. Oh, the love of God the Holy Ghost that is manifested in all these his various workings in the souls of his people, that he should come into such sinful hearts to regenerate and sanctify them, and take so much pains in teaching and leading them in all right things. What need there is for concern, lest by our sinfulness and negligence we should grieve the Spirit, or vex him so as to cause him to withdraw his operations or to depart from us for a season.